This podcast is a presentation of Gateway Fellowship, Paulsboro, Washington. Experience community, find hope. Check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Gateway Online. We are here today. It's Palm Sunday. This is the day in history when people lined up on the streets. When Jesus came into the city, they yelled and shouted, "Hosanna to the King of Kings." We're going to worship him this morning. Wherever you're at, would you join in and engage? It doesn't matter what you sound like, because God says he wants you to make a joyful noise. So if you can't sing well, it doesn't matter at all. He just wants to hear your heart sing. That's why we do what we do. Let's sing together this first song. It's our victory, a cross meant to kill. An instrument of death became our victory as followers of Christ. Let's worship him this morning.
Us alive again.
Behold.
Deep man.
Have you ever wondered why is it that we sing about the wonderful cross when we know that the cross was such an instrument of torture and death? But we as believers, we gather and we sing, oh, the wonderful cross, the wonderful cross. His love, so incredible, so divine. And I think because here's the reality, all fears and all anxiety die at the foot of the cross in the reality of an empty tomb. We're gathering this week, especially to celebrate his death and the resurrection of Jesus for you and for me. All fears, all anxiety, they die at the foot of the cross because of the hope that is found in Jesus. And because of his steadfast love that never changes, aren't you thankful that it's not here today and then gone tomorrow, but we can depend upon his love that watches over us and protects us each and every day. You know, I was reading in Psalm again this morning, and in Psalm 59, at just the final verses of that chapter, David writes this. Now remember, David is fearing for his life. In fact, if you go to the top of the psalm, it says this. It's a psalm when Saul sent men to watch his house in order to kill him. So this is when David writes this psalm, and he speaks of this steadfast love that we come into when we come into a relationship with Jesus. He says this, "But I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you, for you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love." The same love that took Jesus to the cross for you and for me is that steadfast love that we experience day in and day out. God is our fortress. Let's just join together in prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you today for the reality of your love. We've said it before, we've talked about it before. We could never really fully understand, I don't think, the depth of your love, the sacrifice that you made that we sing about this morning, the wonderful cross. But we're brought into that as we trust in you and as we have our faith in you. And so this morning we just declare again your steadfast love in our day of distress. Even in these days of uncertainty, of challenge, there are our days of distress. God, we look to you, the one who is our fortress, the one that we run to today, the one who we place our trust and our faith in. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
On the day that death surrendered to the mighty cross of Jesus Christ, the earth would shake beneath the weight of darkened skies.
It will never
Aren't you thankful for that reality this morning? Well, so glad that you've joined in. Fill up your cup of coffee or whatever it is you're drinking, and we're gonna take some time to look into the Word of God in just a few moments. I guess our routines are fairly disrupted, aren't they?
Yes.
You know, and I think that you've experienced that too, and maybe you're experiencing brand new things. So for Jen and me, it's kind of interesting because we've done one thing that we have never done before.
What?
Okay, so in our married lives. Now, we've been married a fair amount of years, mm-hmm. You know, and so we have actually watched a movie two nights in a row.
Ooh. Is that a big
deal?
Yeah,
no kidding. So honestly, we have never done that. So. And we now watching two movies already. We've exceeded our movie limit for the year because we normally don't do too many movies. But so it's been kind of interesting, you know. So how are you guys dealing with it? I mean, like, how are you dealing with it?
You know what? There are some good days and there are some bad days. Honestly,
yeah.
it's a roller coaster sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. It can be challenging, can't it?
Totally.
And so, especially when you kind of get thrust into something kind of brand new. So, anyway, I'm going to introduce Stephanie here in just a few moments. You're kind of wondering, like, who's that? I mean, many of you know Stephanie already, so we'll talk a little bit about that. But let me just remind you of a few things coming up. So, this Friday night, we'll be gathering together on a Good Friday service. It's at 6 p.m., so we'll be streaming that. And we as a faith community, everybody will be joining together in communion on Friday night. And so it's a reflective service, and Jason and the team is putting together just a great time that we'll be gathering together. So 6 p.m. Friday night. So I want to encourage you to get some communion elements ready. And so it doesn't have to be grape juice, you know. It can be water, it can be bread, it can be grape juice. So just get something, we'll be joining together. So Friday night at 6 p.m. And then, of course, the Easter weekend looks completely different. On Saturday, we had this fun day all planned. Now, Saturday, there's just one event, and here it is. It's a drive-through photo booth with a special Easter bunny.
That sounds awesome. Who's the Easter bunny? Is it you?
Yeah, but the Easter bunny is not like your normal Easter bunny. So it's a drive-through photo booth. I think the time is 10 to noon or something like that. And so check that out. We're getting information out. Can't get out of your car. Social distancing. All of that will be in place. And so that's Saturday. And then on Sunday, of course, we're celebrating Easter. I read this this past week, and I think it's really, really true. You know, like churches around the country, of course, are empty like we are today. But more importantly, the tomb is empty. Isn't
yes.
that great?
Yes.
And so that's what we're celebrating. So on Sunday, and so 9 and 10:30. And then just as a reminder, all of the services are archived, and you can go to gatewayfellowship.com and download the service for your best viewing, for your best time. And some have done that because we do know that this is a real high bandwidth time, and so sometimes, you know, internet's not so smooth. And so you can go to the archive videos, gatewayfellowship.com, and then download the service at any time. So you might want to check that out. There's a connect card on that tab near you, and so you can use that and fill that out. Let us know how we can pray for you, how we can stay connected. A lot of things going on. Schools, our schools open up on Monday, and I'm so proud of our schools team. I mean, going online, and they have trained, and they're ready to launch. So would you be praying for Gateway Schools Monday as they open up school to all the kids? And let's pray for the students. We probably should pray for parents too, right?
Right, yes.
Because not everybody's used to having the kids at home.
Right, and not to mention if they're different grades and they have to do all the different classes with one computer at home, who knows?
And they have to share
a
computer, so they get to learn how to share.
Yes.
And then thank you for your ongoing faithful giving. Let me just say something. I know how challenging and how hard this time is for many. Numbers have lost their jobs, and you want to give, but it's just not there. And I just want to tell you that I just know, because I've experienced it, I think many have, that Jesus will always provide. And I just want to encourage you in that. I don't always know how, but I just know that he does. And so we'll keep praying with you for God's provision in your life. Many of you, you know, you're able to continue giving. And for many of you, even to give a little extra to help those who may have challenging days. And we're continuing on. We're providing resources as we can, the team here. So thank you for your faithful, ongoing giving. And a number of you have mailed in your giving, or you've dropped it by the church. Use the giving app. That really, really helps us. You also see a COVID-19 relief fund. And everything that's given, to 100% of what's given to COVID-19 relief fund is designated to help people. So if you want to participate in that, you'll see that in the drop-down box as well. So thank you so very, very much. Well, this is Stephanie. And we often refer to her as Stephanie BC, right?
Yes.
Right.
Stephanie and it's
BC.
Usually the photographer attached to that.
Yeah, so you see Stephanie as a photographer kind of running around. She's done a lot of photography for us. But she's also a speaker. And Stephanie spoke at the last women's event here at Gateway.
Yeah.
And also feels a call to the Lord. So we've been taught call to the Lord. No, of course you feel called to the Lord.
Yes.
I mean, a call to full-time ministry.
Yes.
Pastoral ministry and speaking ministry and so on like that. So today, kind of in the whole rhythm of planning, we were setting aside today to talk about serving. Because that's part of your story and Jason's story, your family story when you came to Gateway, how you got involved in serving and that type of a thing. And you got connected with the family. So that's what we were going to talk about. But then when everything changed up, we kind of changed up the focus and the series for today and for the next number of weeks. So we're going to do this thing together.
Here we go.
On Palm Sunday. So launching a series called The Prayers of Life out of the Book of Psalms. I'm going to talk more about that. But I asked Stephanie, she would just bring a few thoughts on Palm Sunday. So let's do that.
Okay, first is first. Nobody told me how slippery this chair was.
Yeah, well.
And I'm wearing this thing and I'm sliding right off the chair.
Well.
I'm like, hold on, let me adjust myself.
Okay.
I'm like, maybe I'll just stand or have a foot. There we go, that works.
Yeah, that's good.
That was a real moment. So today I really would love to start with just reading the scripture in Matthew, if you want to follow along, Matthew 21, 1 through 9, and we're going to read the triumphal entry. And I'm going to stand so I don't fall. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus then sent two disciples, telling them, "Go into the village ahead of you. At once you will find a donkey tied there, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you should say that the Lord needs them, and immediately he will send them." This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Tell daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, then they laid their robes on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their robes on the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. Then the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed kept shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. He who comes in the name of the Lord is the blessed one. Hosanna in the highest heaven."
Yeah.
So as I was reflecting on this week when Tom asked me to give a devotional, I was kind of overcome at the prospect because so much happens in this week, the Holy Week, from Palm Sunday all the way to the cross. And I thought, yeesh, what story could I possibly come up with that captures it all? And what I really felt called to share with you was just a few examples from the Holy Week to keep in mind as you go through this week in a most unprecedented way. I mean, most of you are at home streaming this live, or you're going to stream it later, and you're starting Easter week in a way that you've probably never started it in your entire life, and who knows if you ever will again. But I felt the Spirit speaking to me that instead of just going through the motions this week and doing the things that we've previously done, let us examine these stories. Let us examine them in a way that we bring intention to it. And one of the ways we can do that is by examining Jesus' behavior, how he responded as he faced all of this persecution. I mean, we have the privilege of knowing what's coming on Sunday, but 2,000 years ago,
right,
it was different. Only Jesus knew. Everybody else couldn't have been the wiser. And Jesus entered that. He knew that he was going to be facing grave suffering, and still he did it. Still he rode into Jerusalem. And what I want to point out to you there is his behavior was one of obedience. And so what I want to encourage you for this week is, as you read his behavior during this time, one of these stories, for example, Palm Sunday, is he rode in. He rode in obedience. How can you this week be obedient? Is God calling you to do something, to serve, to spread an encouraging word to somebody? I know it can be scary sometimes. Trust me, I'm standing right here. And before, when I was down there waiting, I could feel the nerves and I could feel the fear wanting to rise up. But I felt myself saying, I choose obedience, because Jesus chose obedience. He chose that when he entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And I feel like that is something we could all really pay attention to in the times that we're facing. The next story I want to highlight for you is the cleansing of the temple, which happened shortly after Palm Sunday. Jesus entered the temple, and he saw that there were people. It was like a marketplace set up, and he was angry. He was righteously and justly angry, and he flipped tables, and he said, "This is my house of worship. Get out of here, you den of thieves." I don't know if you realize this. I don't know if you pay attention to this in the scriptures, but you are a temple. Your body is a temple. Your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. And even though you are not in this building today, you are at home, and you are the temple. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to pay attention to Jesus' behavior in this. Since you are the temple, what have you allowed to set up shop inside of your body and your heart and your mind? Who's selling something to you that is not of the house of worship, that is not of the Lord? I'm going to ask you to capture those thoughts, those fears, those anxieties. I'm going to ask you to capture and pay attention to how much news you're taking in and how much social media time you're having. What is affecting your house of worship? And I want you to reclaim that this week. Reclaim your temple, your house of worship, and submit it all to the Lord. And finally, one of the stories that really speak to me is at the end, the criminals on the cross. Just take a moment and just close your eyes and think of Jesus on the cross. He had a criminal to his left and to his right. And all around him, There were people mocking him and scoffing him and rebuking him and making fun of him and saying, "Aren't you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus, who is God, did he respond to that? In his greatest suffering and persecution, do we see Jesus rebuking them? And he could have said, "Forget you guys," but he didn't. In his greatest suffering, even when one criminal said, "Hey, aren't you the Messiah? Can't you just save us and save yourself?" And the other criminal said, "Hey, we're here for a reason. We actually committed crimes. This man is innocent." And he looked at Jesus and he said, "Will you please remember me?" And Jesus, in all of his suffering, he gave him assurance. "I assure you, today you will be in the kingdom of heaven with me," in his greatest moment of suffering. And so what I want you to think about today, this week, as you consider the cross, as you consider everything that you are going through, may you respond with mercy and love and grace and remember the hope that is the cross. I wish you were here so I could point to you and say, "Look at that cross," because that is our hope and that is what I want you to consider. And I want you to pay attention to how Jesus modeled that this week.
Yeah, excellent. I've read this, and that Jesus loved his enemies right to the end.
Yes.
Right to the end. Yes. And that is so true. I love the whole idea of redeeming the time, too, of capturing the stories and living in them. I found myself so many times just meditating on the scripture, meditating on the stories. Mm. And it is true that when those things come in, other things have to leave.
Yes.
And those things called fear and anxiety, they do have to leave.
Yes.
And that's what we sang about even this morning. I woke up, I think it was Sunday or Monday morning, I woke up, and this hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," was just going through my mind over and over and over. And I started writing that day, and I was immediately drawn to the 23rd Psalm. And so fitting, because we're launching today this series called Prayers of Life from the Book of Psalms. But the 23rd Psalm, and here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to invite you to write in your home as a group, to join us in reciting this psalm. It's here on the screen, so you can read it. But let's just join together, shall we?
Yes.
"The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen." I love that psalm. It's probably the most popular psalm,
yes,
right? I think it is the 23rd psalm. Mm-hmm. But I love what the psalmist, what David does and how he starts off. He just starts off declaring, "The Lord is my shepherd." And kind of like you just kind of recommend, like sit on those stories,
yes,
just kind of meditate. Mm-hmm. I've meditated on this, the reality of that and the truth and the affirmation that the Lord is my shepherd, and how personal that becomes, right? So he's your shepherd, and he's your shepherd. You've received Jesus as Lord, but he's my shepherd. It's a very personal thing. It's very comforting as we kind of sit and we just think about that our shepherd leads us and guides us through all of life. And there's a place of peace and comfort there, right? So I was writing all this down. And now with my office moved home, and we have this little desk, and we have a dog. So yeah, so Kuska, golden retriever. So she's kind of that tall, whatever. And for some reason, as soon as I go to my desk in the morning, she's got to be there, and she will come and she will stand beside my chair. And she will wait until I move back out of the way, and then she crawls in underneath the desk, and then she sits down there. I mean, she didn't sit down. She crawls up in this little ball, and you know, that's where she stays. And I was writing this, and this may be kind of a stupid illustration, I don't know, but it came to me anyway, that this is her place of comfort, right? This is her security, and I'm just going to sit at your feet. And I began to think about that in the 23rd Psalm, how it is that we kind of come to that place as well, right?
Yeah.
I'm not like calling us dogs or anything like that, but,
right.
But you know, but we find that place of comfort when we find ourselves in Him and the reality of who He is, right? So there's probably things that you're doing to find that place.
Honestly, I'm a lot like Kuzka.
Okay, crawl up underneath it,
I crawl up onto my couch, though, in the mornings with a hot cup of coffee, which is black, by the way.
There you go.
And I have my word,
and
I find comfort at the feet of the Father in His scriptures.
Well, as we get into the Psalms, someone stated a long time ago, it's just something that has stuck with me, that the Psalms, the whole book, they're so loved because they speak to everyday life. And when you read through the Psalms, you see fear, right? You see anxiety. You see affirmations of who God is, who Jesus is, who our shepherd is. Really, they contain the whole of life, every area of life. So from one of the Psalms, let me just kind of share these quotes. Here they are right here. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. These is from the Psalms. It goes on. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve me according to your word. Right from the Psalms. A couple more. My soul is weary with sorrow. I mean, like, we can be right there, can't we? Strengthen me according to your word. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord. Here it is, according to your word. May my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. And so we're going to dive into the book of Psalms. Now, many of you follow probably a routine of reading Proverbs and Psalms, perhaps, but we know the book of Psalms contains 150 chapters. And those chapters are broken down into five books. So, in fact, you go open up your Bible, it will say book one, you know, and then book two, book three, book four, book five. And so we're going to dig into book one, book two, book three, book four, and book five in the Psalms that are contained in each one. Now, some think that David was the author of all the Psalms, but David was the author of almost half the Psalms, or like 73 or so are credited to him, and then there's some unknown, but there were a number of authors of the Psalms. So Moses was an author. There's some anonymous Psalms we just really don't know. Asaph was another author of the Psalms. So very often, I will refer to the psalmist, right? Because I figured, then you're always going to get it right, right?
Yes.
So the psalmist wrote this psalm, right? And so anyway, but David, most of the Psalms. So we're going to dive into book number one today. And here's what I want you to see in each every book. Every book, those five books, have both a doxology and a worship theme. A doxology and a worship theme. Now, a doxology, right, when we are gathered here together, we often have sung the doxology before you leave. So that's something that happens at the end, the doxology, right, and then we go. There's also a worship theme in each book, so I want to introduce us to that. But I want to introduce us to the doxology of book number one, chapters 1 through 40, I think it is 41, chapters 1 through 41, and the doxology of book one of the Psalms. It's almost like it's the end of the movie, pretty much.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Except for you're gonna spoil it now.
I'm gonna spoil it right now. So here's the doxology of book number one, right here. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. I love that.
It's amazing. It's
It
feels so powerful and just actually comforting.
It is.
From beginning to end, He is everlasting.
He is from beginning to the end. And it's like at the end of the story, at the end of the book, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from when?
Everlasting to everlasting.
Everlasting to everlasting. He was here with you yesterday. He's here today. And He'll be with you tomorrow, right? Yeah, everlasting to everlasting. So regardless of what the day looks like or the challenges that come, he's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. And I just think that we need to let that sink again deep into our soul and deep into our heart, because while everything around us is changing, he is from
everlasting to everlasting.
Yeah, exactly. Everlasting to everlasting. Yeah. The God we serve. The worship theme that I just suggest out of book one is really good. It's called adoring worship, meaning to love greatly or honor highly. It means to worship as divine, yeah, right? Adoring worship. Now, I have to admit, I told Jason this past week, so I would love to be able to do what he does, right? But I'm the guy that sings in private.
Me too.
Yeah, so I was out in the lobby one day, and we actually had a guest speaker, and Jason started singing, you know, and the guy goes, "Wow, who's that?"
You're like, "It's not me."
Yeah, no, so, no, now, here's the deal. If I would have been singing, the guy would have said, "Who's that?" You know, it would have been a whole different, "Who's that?" You see, like that. But here's the deal. The worship that we entered into isn't because we can carry a tune or we can't carry a tune or we can sing.
Right.
It's worship, man, from the heart.
Yes. Yes. I mean, whenever you're worshiping, yeah, it doesn't matter what you sound like, he sees you and he's blessed by your worship, no matter what form it is.
It's what comes out of our heart because of the thankfulness that,
yes,
is deep inside for what Jesus has done, right?
Yes.
And we can worship. I find myself worshiping in my own private times, and sometimes, you know, honestly, it's silent. Sometimes I'll turn on worship music. Sometimes, for me, it's reading the Word and just letting the worship come from the Word,
right?
Yeah. But it's adoring worship. It's a honor him greatly and honor him as divine. Psalm 8, right? It's in the first book, right? Psalm 8. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens." Set your glory above the heavens.
Yes. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, here's how we're going to apply the Psalms as we go through. I'm going to just suggest a pattern. We're going to do it again today. I'm going to ask Steph to read Psalm 1 in just a moment, just a few verses there. But we're going to apply the Psalms, including this morning, in this way. First of all, we're going to ask ourselves this question. What does the Psalm say about God, his character, and his ways? And so as we read, we're going to be asking this question. What does God say? What do we learn about God? What do we learn about his character? And what do we learn about his ways? And we'll be doing that today as we look at Psalm 1. We're going to ask this, what does it say about life or what comes our way? Okay, so now fear has come to many, anxiety, we don't know about tomorrow, right? Questions, and so that's life. Life comes at us, but then we're going to ask this question, what do we learn about living or our response to what comes our way? So at prayer time, we talked about Psalm 59 and David. So David in his life was experiencing a threat, right?
Right.
You know, like they were looking to kill him. Yes. Saul, right? He's looking to kill him. That's life. Life is bringing that. But David's response to that was declaring the strength of the Lord.
Yes.
So that's the pattern that we're going to follow. What do we learn about God, his character, and his ways? What do we learn about life? And then what do we learn about living? So let's go to Psalm 1. So you want to read it?
I'll read it.
Okay.
Okay, Psalm 1. "How happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not survive the judgment, and sinners will not be in the community of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin.
Yeah. So the first question, I'm going to invite you to kind of write these down so that you kind of get them into your memory, particularly if you're someone who journals. Write these down. So let's take a look. What do we learn about God, his characters, and his ways? Mm. And verse 6, Stephanie just read it. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly. Mm-hmm. And then if we go to chapter 32, it says this, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. So what do we learn about God, his character, and his ways? That he's a God who watches over us, right?
He cares.
He cares. That's yes. his character. Mm-hmm. That's who he is.
Yes.
You know, someone said, he's not just a God who loves, he is love.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a very tiny definition or understanding of what his love is.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. He is love. So what do we learn about God, his character, and his ways? He watches over us, mm-hmm. and he protects us. Now, I would guess, now your girls, you were going to say hi to them.
Oh, yes, my girls. Sorry, Sadie and Liberty, if you're watching, I love you, and you better be good to your father right now.
There you go. So it's Liberty and?
Sadie.
Yeah. And two girls. And, you know, for Jen was and is this incredible mother and grandmother. I don't know how she's always done it. I don't know how moms do it. I don't know how Jen's done it. But anyway, I can be more the worrier than Jen. And I told her that I wish that I just had, you know, what she has. Mm. But I know all of us probably, when we send our kids out and when they're out and your girls are younger, but so you usually have them with you, but you know, there are times, right? So they go out and play, they do whatever. And you kind of wonder, like as a parent, we do not have the ability to see everything that they do all the time or to be to the rescue them, right?
Right. No. And that's very hard.
Yeah.
But this actually reminds me that, you know, God is our father. He's our parents.
Right.
And he can see ahead of us.
Exactly.
And he's trying to guide us because of that.
So unlike we human parents, God's character, his ways, who he is someone who watches over us, guides us daily, mm-hmm. knows the step before we get there, right?
Yes.
And so we can trust in him.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's go to the second question. What do we learn about life or the realities of life? So what do we learn about God, his character, and his ways? Now, what do we learn about life? And here's, I think we do, and even we read it, life is filled with choices.
Choices.
Wow. Some good.
Some good, some bad.
Yeah, some good, some bad.
Yeah.
But they're there each and every day. And I'm just reminded again, even as you shared at the very, very beginning, we have a choice to live in fear, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
We have a choice to live in anxiety. Now listen, a choice to live in worry, and look, I'm telling you, that's something I have to work on,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Because, no, I sometimes find myself choosing this side mm-hmm. over this side, mm-hmm. and I got to keep bringing myself back, because the realities of life, those things come at us, don't they?
Right.
So fears and worry and challenges, those are the real, like we will never escape those things until Jesus comes.
Right.
Someone said this way, I love it. We will never live in a sick-free world until we're in a sin-free world. Mm. And the only time we're in a sin-free world is when Jesus comes and when we're home with him.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
So other than that, this stuff is going to come. We're presented with choices every now and then. So all of us, I guess you can't sit down, but okay.
No,
so,
I'm good though.
So for those of you with kids home 24/7.
What would you like for me to say about that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're living in choices, right?
Yes, lots of choices.
Lots of choices.
Yes, and gosh, moms, parents out there, I totally feel you.
Yeah.
Whether you have one child or five, it's rough to be a parent in this world right now. And trying to be responsible for not just being their parent, but their teacher and their comforter and everything else, and trying to assure them that it's okay, even if you're inside, you have fear and anxiety too.
Right. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
So, or how about spouses who are home 24/7? My poor wife,
mm-hmm.
right? My poor wife. Well, maybe other. I mean, so there, or Let's just dive a little deeper, because there are some that have lost their jobs.
Yes.
I mean, listen, this is a reality.
Yes.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And Jen and I were talking about this very thing, last night and in the days. These are real. And this is what life is bringing to us.
Right?
Yes. We don't know about tomorrow. Mm. We don't know about the rest of today. We don't know what announcements is going to come or anything like that. Mm. These are the realities of life. But what does this psalm say? What does the word say about my response to life? How do I live in this? James Clear, he's a blogger that I followed. He said that today and every day, you'll have the opportunity to say yes to what matters and say no to what does not matter.
Yes.
And I think that's true for followers of Jesus, right? We have the opportunity to say yes to what matters and no to the things that don't matter. And this is part of responding to life that's coming at us right now. So we find ourselves in a place to reject the pull towards those things or even towards the advice, or I think even towards those things in our head.
Yes, even in our very own thoughts.
Yeah.
We have to capture those.
We have to capture those and bring them in alignment with God's word. The Bible says, think on these things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Think on these things. And that's a way of responding and displacing the other things. Mm. I'm not going to allow myself to be guided by kind of the world's view or even projection. I find myself, I said to Jenny the other day, I said, look, I read somewhere where someone's predicting, you know, the stock market will be such and such and all like that. And all of a sudden I find myself kind of like being filled with anxiety over that. But
right.
I'm just not going to allow myself to be guided by those thoughts or by those fears. And if that happens, look, the place that we find ourselves in, hasn't changed.
No, those afflictions of this world are temporary.
Right.
And we have to remember that this is temporary.
Yeah.
We have a home, and it's heaven.
Exactly. Exactly. So let me just read this final psalm, and then I'm going to ask you to do something. Here it is. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You go like, when did we read that? Well, we did it at the very, very start. I will fear no evil. Will you say it with me? I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And here's what I'm thinking. That includes everything that comes our way. All the days of my life and everything that's a part of life.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm gonna ask us to be together in a Bible reading plan. We're gonna pray in just a moment. But here's what I'm gonna ask you. There are some steps, and many of you have already done this. I'm gonna ask you, if you have not already, to download the YouVersion Bible app. Now, I know many of us have other apps, and that's okay, but there's a Bible reading plan here. So download the YouVersion Bible app, iOS and Android. When you do, select community, that little icon there. Select add friends. And I'm going to ask you, right, like, add me as your friend. Will you do that? Like, look for Tom Dushman and not Thomas, because that was another account I had. So Tom Dushman, okay. Look for my name there, and then add me as a friend. I will accept you. I will not reject anybody, okay? Add me as a friend, and then you'll receive a planned invite from me. We're going to start Wednesday, April 8th, okay? So I'm going to leave those instructions up for just a minute here. Download the YouVersion Bible app. Select the community icon. Select add friends. Search for my name, Tom Dushman. Send a friend request. I'll accept you. And then you'll receive this planned invite. And we're going to go through the Psalms together. And then there's a place there to kind of talk it out. Now, there's a limit of 150 friends. And if we exceed that, then there are two Bible plans I've all set up ready to go. And we're going to do it together. It's going to be great.
Yes.
I want to pray with you today. Because I know if you're like me, I was sharing with Stephanie earlier this week when we were talking about today, that this stuff for sure works through my heart before it gets out. And I think you have experienced that this week as well. That some of us are in that place where we're just going to replace fear today and anxiety with God's word. We're going to declare again, the Lord is my shepherd. He walks with us. He guides us through all of our days, regardless what comes. And we're just going to declare that truth today. And I'm going to invite us to think on these things, to think on these things that come right from God's word. They will renew us and they will strengthen us.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So, Father, this is what I pray. As in this moment, we look to you. Jesus, would you just fill our minds and would you just fill our hearts today with peace? Lord, I would pray that in this moment, as we just think on who you are and the reality that you are our shepherd, God, that will begin to displace fear and anxiety, any sense of hopelessness in this day. God, would you do that right now? God, when those things come into our heart and into our mind, through your Holy Spirit, just alert us to those things, I pray. And we will find ourselves in that moment saying, Jesus, I give this moment to you right now, today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy. Lord, with love, wholeheartedly, my soul undeserving. Think about his love.
life bring suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. God, you're so so
this week with that truth in mind, that God is good, from the Psalms and Scripture, through His presence, through His Spirit, in your homes, wherever you are this week. We pray that God, you will remember God is good on this holy week. We'll see you Friday night for Good Friday service at 6, Easter Sunday morning, streamed at 9 and 10:30. We're glad you're with us this morning. God bless and have a great week.
This podcast is a presentation of Gateway Fellowship, Paulsville, Washington. Experience community, find hope. Check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.